Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Society for Research on Nicotine and Tobacco, SRNT for short, and those in the field. And we've been here since Wednesday, and we've been listening to loads of talks on nicotine and tobacco and e-cigarettes and even the co-use between cannabis and tobacco, and all real big names in the field. And so we're going to share a bit of what we've learned over our few days. I'm joined with three other colleagues. And I'm just going to go around and say who you are and where do you come from?
My name's Liam Jennings and I'm from King's College London.
I'm Tina Ayana and I'm from the University of Tasmania.
I'm Katie East and I'm at King's College London, but I'm currently doing a placement with Tina at the University of Tasmania as well.
So we've got a lot of continents and countries with us right here. So I'll first ask you, overall vibes, what do we feel about the conference?
I think it's good.
Good. I am glad.
I wasn't expecting it to be as fun as it was. I've had a good time so far.
Good.
So, yeah, definitely good.
Well, me and Tina went to SRNT last year and this year, and both have been really good conferences. I think the quality of science is very good. It's not very rushed. There's a lot of time to network and go to talks, so it's a good balance, I think.
Yeah, I think it's welcoming to all stages of your career kind of thing.
It's a very good opportunity to meet everyone kind of at all levels.
Yeah,
it's, I find it less intimidating than last year, but maybe that's just because of the stage I'm in at the moment.
And you've grown as a person.
I've grown as a person, exactly.
Absolutely. Okay, so the general theme of this conference is that tobacco, we need to keep on reducing tobacco in all communities.
Tobacco is bad.
It's very addictive. Nicotine's very addictive. We can't keep our eye, you know, move our eyes from this issue, even though I think another theme that kept on coming up was the opioid crisis in the US.
Yes.
And the fact that quite a lot of money's been thrown at the opioid crisis for, you know, obvious good reasons, but I think a lot of people were saying, let's not forget that the tobacco is still an issue and a problem that affects all walks of life and increases disparities, I feel.
Well, and it's still the one major leading cause of death.
Yeah.
And disease. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big thing.
It is still a big thing, even though what I think a few speakers are just like, people think that it's done, we've ticked, we've got it down so far from, what, 50% of the population to even lower, so...
17% in the UK now, I think, or Great Britain. Yeah. So it's a massive decrease, but yeah, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. And I think the Surgeon General, we had a talk from the Surgeon General of the United States who is on the back of cigarette packets, looking all great. I haven't actually seen any cigarette packets with his face on, but apparently he's there.
I've not seen any cigarette packets here at all.
No, but apparently he's there. But he was just saying that we can't pat ourselves on the back for reducing tobacco smoking so much when the gap is widening between those of high social economic status and low social economic status. So we can't say, yay, well done, we've reduced it, whereas the gap's been widening.
Yes. So, well, that's what Tina's work is on, looking at socioeconomic status and smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tina, could you give us insights?
Can you be more specific?
What are the issues with between socioeconomic status and smoking?
Well, I think that the gap is widening because it's not both sides that change. It's more that what we have, the treatments that we have and how we can help people, it's more targeting or more helping people with higher socioeconomic status, who already have more resources. And then we don't really reach the lower SES groups and the socioeconomic groups. Mm-hmm. And this is how the gap is widening. It's not so much because there are more and more low socioeconomic smokers and less high socioeconomic smokers. It's just less and less high socioeconomic.
Right, okay.
So I think we should focus more on vulnerable populations and mm-hmm. groups who might not have the resources and skills mm-hmm. to deal with it.
And that's obviously a lot of problems with like the research that's generally been discussed. I think Ron mentioned it yesterday that a lot of the surveys don't actually capture the really low socioeconomic status people, so people who might be homeless, obviously aren't captured in these surveys and these studies that are being mm-hmm. discussed throughout this conference. So, yeah.
And first of all, if you can hear the sirens, I apologise. but is it also because some of like nicotine replacement therapies, such as patches or varenicline, a medication that costs money?
Yes.
Therefore, mm-hmm. it's easier for those with money to find the access to get down.
Well, I think it depends a little bit on the country. I don't know that much about the policies mm. within each country. But, yes, in some countries you get, it's not funding, what's the word? You can get NRT, so nicotine replacement therapies, on prescription.
Mm, right.
But in some countries you don't. And it's also, I'm not sure what the research on, but I think I read somewhere that also the beliefs on the effectiveness of NRT is dependent on socioeconomic status. So people might not, people with lower socioeconomic status might not believe that NRT
and they might
replacement
not,
therapy helps.
Is there anything to do with like compliance with taking it? Is there any research on that? So that
well, in general, medication adherence is definitely a big thing. Nicotine replacement therapy being not as effective as it could be.
Right.
What is the system in Australia? Is it a prescribed system or is it over the counter?
It's over the counter.
Okay.
Well, not varenicline. Because I'm not Australian, I'm not actually that familiar with the system, but...
So there's like, basically, there's quite a lot of evidence with NRT that medications such as varenicline plus other NRT or counselling is like the gold standard best method,
isn't
it?
That's what we
mentioned today in the Q&A.
Oh.
This was in a Q&A with the commissioner of the FDA, Scott Gottlieb.
FDA is?
The Food and Drug Administration, which is obviously specific to the US, not the UK, for people who are listening. So yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, I feel like the Q&A was a lot of people asking the FDA to do a lot of things.
Yeah. I agree.
Obviously not feasible for them to do it all. Yeah. So the suggestions were good. Liam, you thought that one suggestion was particularly good?
I do, but I can't remember what that suggestion was.
Let me find it.
In the meantime, I will also say that they showed a campaign of helping people to stop smoking. But what I thought was good about it is the fact that they notified and mentioned the fact that it will take you more than one try to quit. So it was like, you've got to keep on trying. Like, the more times you try, the more times it will be more likely that you succeed. So it was kind of like acknowledging that, don't worry, if you've tried and failed many times, because it just means that you're closer to succeeding, which I thought was quite good. But what I did also love is that there was a poster over water bottles that said, take a sip, not a cig.
Yeah.
It was just like, water, Tabasco.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Oh, no, what, my favourite...
They were about the same...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. My seven level of addiction, sure.
My favourite one was, if at first you don't succeed, try, and try again.
Yeah. It was really good. It was just like, some of the posters are just like, brilliant.
I was crying towards the end of it, like, trying to suppress my laughter.
Why did I miss it?
I feel like that, to an extent, was a bit of a cop-out from the FDA, though. Because,
what do you mean?
Well... I mean, there's a lot of campaigning in the US to have pictures and messages on cigarette packaging, and it hasn't happened.
Right.
And we can see that it works in Mexico, it works in the UK, it works in Europe, all over the world.
Australia.
It's working.
Mm.
And because of the tobacco industry, they didn't want to do it over here. So this is kind of like step in between. But we know that it's more effective to have images showing the effects of smoking as opposed to just words. It's kind of like, maybe it's definitely the right step, but it just felt, when I was watching, I felt uncomfortable, because if I wanted to smoke a cigarette and I saw this, it's not going to stop me from smoking.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at it, because it's not shocking. It doesn't grab attention.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do we actually know how and why the pictures work? I mean, there is also evidence that they might not
and people
work,
just ignore them.
And rather
yeah, the people
have like
avoid
a backfiring
them.
Effect.
Avoid them.
Yeah,
okay.
That's actually what Olivia Maynard's working on and looking at.
Right.
Is
avoidance of health warnings, and it's using eye tracking studies to look at where people
like people turning them over because they're just like, oh, I don't want to see a dead lung.
Yeah,
that
yeah or they
thing.
Use those
yeah.
plastic cases.
Oh,
yeah,
to
cover them up.
To cover.
Yeah,
right.
And then she was like also another. And I remember this was discussed last year at SRNT as well, was potentially introducing inserts into the inside packets of cigarettes. And so you have the warnings on the outside, and then on the inside you have an insert, which might be, you know, advice on how to quit smoking, what the most effective way of quitting is.
Yeah, isn't that been done in Canada?
They have got like more restrictive tobacco
yes,
things
they
than
are.
The US.
So they are required. So there's research by Crawford Moody, who was actually the one who presented it last year. He has done research looking at inserts.
Right. So kind of have inserts telling people like where to go for help or how to quit smoking.
I think there's different types of inserts
right.
that you can get. I'm not 100% sure about this area, but I think there's ones that are kind of positive, like with a positive valence, so towards like quitting smoking as and how it can benefit your health, and then ones with a negative valence as well.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, I'm not 100% sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying about the cop-out thing, it's also the interesting how they go for the positive thing instead of going against tobacco kind of thing. It's not a negative thing of like, cigarettes are evil, which is what the health warnings on the packet would be. It's more like, look how life would be without it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a positive thing of, you can do this, you're a trier, and you will succeed. So it's not going against a product. It's saying, it feels more like a positive thing rather than going against the product.
Sure. So here's an example.
Yeah, and not only telling them how they are ruining their health, but rather... Well, you're doing this, it's bad, but this is how you can, you know,
change.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately missed the Q&A. Can you tell me a little bit more about the suggestions that people had?
What was the one with e-cigarettes in regards to...
So barriers to using... It was about how the FDA can address barriers to using e-cigarette use and smoking cessation. So obviously in the US there's, everywhere there's barriers to using e-cigarettes and how they can improve ease of access, I guess, to e-cigarettes.
There was also a lot of talk, to be honest, it's something that I've heard come up quite a bit in this conference, is about menthol cigarettes.
They've been very popular.
Yeah, big to chat about. Because I think there's a lot of, the symposiums that I've been into have given like evidence saying that you're less likely to quit on menthol, and it's easier to start with menthol, mm-hmm. I'm assuming because it's less harsh.
Yeah.
To, you know, it's easier to initiate on menthol. So it's like, why do we still have menthol? So I think there's a big push to get rid of it so that it would help a lot of people. And there was the guy asking the man from the FDA, saying, you're saying how anecdotally flavours can help people get off cigarettes or something, but you said that you're not addressing the flavours that you still have in cigarettes that are keeping people on cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I think that was, and I think he was saying about how it mainly affects the African-American community because he was a representative
it's
of the
especially
African
popular
population.
Well, his answer, when he gave the answer, he didn't give the answer in regards to flavours in cigarettes. He gave the answer in regards to flavours in e-cigarettes.
In e-cigarettes. Right? Mm-hmm. The FDA guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's basically saying the flavours in e-cigarettes are a good thing. Mm. He didn't talk about how the flavours in cigarettes are a bad thing.
Exactly.
So he just completely deflected.
Yeah, it was very, it was a very broad response. Yeah, they just said we'll be soliciting information. They didn't really provide any...
Is menthol still, cigarettes still allowed in the UK? I know that they
I
are
think there
banning
were discussions
them.
About banning them,
yeah,
but I'm
I
not
know
sure
it
when it was implemented.
Right.
I think there were a couple of talks last year as well.
There was a symposium this afternoon on menthol as well.
It's funny because my friend in London smokes menthol cigarettes, and he said, and he said, as soon as they get rid of them, I'll probably not smoke. And I was like, well, you are just a beautiful anecdotal evidence of how it will actually change. Because they were just like, yeah, I don't like actually smoking cigarettes. So it's just like, yeah, I will not smoke if menthol are gone.
I don't think they are banned yet.
Right, okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know about Australia either.
No one smokes Australia. I mean, people do. But like, it's just not as obvious.
Mm-hmm. Well, Australia has one of the lowest smoking rates worldwide.
Do you know what it is?
I somehow recall 11, but that sounds really low.
That's really,
really
low.
The UK is 17.
Yeah. I actually think the UK has either a very, very similar or even a lower smoking rate now.
Right. Okay.
But yeah.
It also
depends on which state and even within cities.
Apparently Tasmania has one of the higher rates in Australia.
It has the highest.
Yeah, and that's 18%.
Yeah.
Well, not that's not.
And one suburb of Hobart, so the capital city of Tasmania, has the highest smoking rate countrywide.
I've still not seen any sort of smokers there, really, in comparison.
Well, I mean, it is... The prevalence is very low, and you can tell when... you do see smokers on the streets, but... often they get the looks.
Talking about social norms, right? Because that would be kind of like disapproval of people who are smoking. What about those social norms, Katie? What are they?
We actually have three social norms people here, so not just me.
But you're the main social norm person.
I'm not the main social norms person. So Tina and I presented yesterday in a symposium about social norms. And Liam is presenting tomorrow on social norms as well.
All of you, just not me then, yeah? So, briefly, tell me what social norms are. And what is it normalisation? Is it denormalisation? Is it just the normal thing? What is this?
So social norms can be conceptualised into two distinct domains. So you have your descriptive norms, which are your... so kind of what is commonly done, so seeing smoking around you, you know, how many people smoke, and then you have your injunctive norms, which is like approval or disapproval of smoking, and then you can get these norms at all levels, so you know, your friends' approval or disapproval and your friends' smoking behaviour, and then you can also get societal level as well. So Liam, what are you looking at tomorrow in your norm? Are you describing all the norms measures in the ITC
So not all of them. We've divided it into descriptive and injunctive, and then we have three descriptive norms that we're looking at, and two injunctive. And then we're also a tiny bit looking at how the descriptive norms are associated.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is it this towards e-cigarettes as well?
This is towards, just e-cigarettes.
Just e-cigarettes.
Yeah, and how maybe regulation can influence the norms as well.
So you're looking across four countries?
Yeah, the US.
And what age is this?
It's four categories of age, 18 to 24,
right.
25 to 39, 40 to 55, 55 plus.
And smokers only?
So you can be involved in if you've quit smoking for up to 2 years, and then once it's gone over 2 years,
you're rejected as a non-smoker.
Sorry, you can't.
We don't want you anymore.
Yeah, you can't sit with us. And what did you find? Without any spoilers for tomorrow. Actually, no, lots of spoilers.
Slash this will be released after tomorrow. So go ahead.
I guess England has the most positive norms. Mm-hmm. If you want to, it depends on your perspective on the matter. I mean, it definitely depends on how you look on the matter. But so for every single norm, England came out significantly more positive. So you're more likely to see people using e-cigarettes on the street in England. More likely to have a friend that uses e-cigarettes.
Is this compared to all of the three?
So when we run the analysis with each country as the base, and every time we did it, England, apart from I think one of them, England pretty much consistently came out.
So which countries were that?
It was Australia, Canada, the US and England.
Okay. So England had more positive norms towards e-cigarettes?
Yeah.
In terms of both injunctive and descriptive?
Yes. Especially with injunctive norms. With the descriptive norms, it was always more positive than Australia, but when it was compared to Canada and the US, especially when for friend and partner vaping status, it was a bit more inconsistent.
So was it, did you see a difference between, so Australia is a more conservative country towards e-cigarettes?
Definitely, on every measure.
Because Australia allows e-cigarettes, but without nicotine.
Yes.
So the ones with nicotine are prohibited.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can purchase them, but on the black market.
Right.
Yeah. Or you can basically order them online.
Yeah.
I just thought of a very important thing we need to mention.
Please mention.
Juul.
Oh, definitely.
Juul.
What about
Juul, the e-cigarette.
It's
the USB stick.
The J-U-U-L.
Yeah. It's American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is
the USB stick? Yeah.
Oh, they're really pretty.
Okay.
I'm a naive listener.
I have no idea what it is.
My partner actually has quit smoking now for 2 months
because I paid him to get a Juul.
Okay.
So it basically, you can Google it, the listeners at home, but basically it looks like a USB
stick. It looks like a USB stick.
And
why is it a big hype? Why is everyone like, ooh, Juul?
I think so. It, it basically it sold, what, 43% of the market in e-cigarettes?
No, 64% of the e-cigarette market in the United States is Juul.
Oh, wow, okay. How the hell did they do that?
Well, supposing it was only been around for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think what you get out of the nicotine, or you get more nicotine, or the effect of the nicotine.
So really, close to what you'd get with this actual genuine tobacco cigarette.
I think, yeah. It's, right. Yeah.
But it's only allowed in the US, so we don't have it in the UK because the regulations are different. So I think,
and it's independent. It's not.
It's not associated with any tobacco company.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, because I think the so US didn't sign up to the FCTC,
So to get, like, as a painting a picture, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the big e-cigarette companies in the US and probably the UK are backed by a tobacco industry.
Not all of them. I think the tobacco industry has bought some e-cigarette companies.
Yeah.
And obviously Philip Morris have developed the IQOS, the new heat not burn product. But I think sometimes I think they're linked, and sometimes they're separate. I don't think there's a norm.
A norm, right? Okay, got you.
Yeah,
cool. And
I don't know what the research is on it, but living in New York, I see Juul advertisement everywhere I go. Posters on so many shop windows on the subway. So I think that's definitely helping.
Let me tell you about my research, because mine was on my e-cigarette advertising. No, it's just the study that I was looking at was, again, the four countries of Canada, Australia, UK and US. And when we did take the study of reported exposure to e-cigarette advertisements, it was when the UK had no regulations and the US had no regulations. They basically could advertise TV, radio, everywhere. And Canada and Australia obviously couldn't do anything because it all contained nicotine. So it was prohibited. And shock horror, UK and US had higher exposure to e-cigarette advertising and stuff, so it would make sense that but I was going to ask an anecdotal question actually about social norms. What do you feel that your social norms are in your lives, as in, do you have
towards smoking
towards e-cigarettes and or e-cigarettes? Yeah, as in, have you, what's your friendship group like, and or with e-cigarettes or smoking?
Yeah, I don't have any smoking friends. Neither cigarettes or e-cigarettes.
And does that affect how you think about smoking and e-cigarettes? Obviously, minus the fact that you're in this field researching it.
Well, one anecdote that I have is when I went to Florence for the SRNT last year. So I am from Germany. Mm-hmm. Germany has a pretty high smoking rate. I think a third of the adult population smokes in Germany. And then I moved to Australia, which has a really low smoking rate, so you barely see anyone smoking. And then I went to Florence, and I was so shocked. There were so many, like, literally everyone on the street was smoking. And I couldn't breathe walking through the streets.
Right. So would you say it was your environment then, as in you...
My environment definitely had a strong influence.
But it could go either way, because a work colleague who was an ex-smoker in Florence said that being around everyone smoking all the time made them want to smoke again, even though they haven't smoked in the last, like, 6 months or whatever.
Definitely. But is that a norm, or is that just a situational influence or environmental influence?
Norms are an environmental influence. Yeah, they're part of your environment.
That's a descriptive norm.
So descriptive norms are what you see, so your environment, and injunctive norms are kind of more inferred from your environment. So it's not explicit, it's what's inferred. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But it can still, as you said yesterday in your presentation, if I remember right, you said that they can be contradictive. So you could be influenced by the people around you who smoke, and you want to smoke, but you also don't think it's right.
Well, I mean, for this person, you're obviously around everyone who's smoking, so you want to smoke, but you're also at a nicotine and tobacco conference.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Where generally the disapproval of smoking is very high.
Pretty high, yeah.
So those are obviously contradicting norms going on there. Yeah.
But you said your husband vapes, is that right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean that you think about vaping? Has that affected you because you're in close proximity with somebody who vapes?
I mean, I feel like I affected him more than he affected
me. Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
So he was smoking a lot and it kind of got to the point where it's like, I really can't, like, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, not just because I dislike the smell and all that, just because it's, I know the consequences. So we agreed in the new year he would get a Juul, and he likes it.
And yourself, Katie?
I think going from somewhere at university where people are smoking all the time around you, and the general feeling of towards smoking is approval, or if not approval, then kind of we don't mind if you do or not, to then going to London, where you're working, and the norms towards smoking are really negative, so not as many people are smoking, and if they are, they're going, you know, outside of the office, and generally, people don't smoke.
Is it again because you currently work in a smoke-free campus.
I was going to mention that.
A nicotine research group.
Yes. Very true. But I mean, it's just depends on
it's all
who you're around.
That
it's all depending on who you're around completely.
Yeah.
That's a really good example of how regulation does affect norms, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because
The University of Bristol, just outside the library, everyone is smoking. Everyone. You cannot go out of that library without inhaling some form of smoke.
The ass library?
The ass.
The ass.
Arts and social sciences.
But give that acronym to students.
Yeah.
It's the ass library.
Meet you in the ass.
I'll meet you in the ass.
Second floor of the ass.
Let's go study the ass.
Yeah.
No one ever says.
No.
I mean, obviously, students are pretty high socioeconomic status people in terms of education.
All right,
maybe not income, but education.
Mm-hmm.
And but still, a lot of students smoke. But you would think, well, we just discussed earlier that high socioeconomic status, or the prevalence in high socioeconomic status people is not so high. Do you think
environment?
But I'm also thinking, could there also be or have to do with like a student academia identity
and stress?
Yeah,
stress
I would say that identity as well.
Bourgeois.
Yeah, like I'm away from my parents.
Yeah,
I can have a cigarette.
Let's have a coffee or a beer and a cigarette.
Just sit and talk about
smart things. We would go like after uni, we would go to a bar and then smoke. Well, not me, but then smoke a pack and have a couple of beers.
What time are we on?
Oh, we've done 45 minutes.
Okay, so
drinks!
Any last thoughts that anyone would like to add? Cool. So thank you for joining us, and see you soon. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.